I imagine that in the church year, most of us have a favorite season. And I also imagine that those two favorite seasons are either going to be Advent and Christmas or Lent and Easter. I enjoy both of them, but I really probably lean towards Advent and Christmas. I enjoy the hymns. I like the colors of the banners and the pyramids, especially after this really long season of seeing mainly green. And I like the Advent wreath, with the candles lit Sunday after Sunday, tracking the calendar, showing that Christmas is getting ever closer. Now that excitement in the kids and in our grandkids increase exponentially day by day because they know that Christmas is right around the corner. And with Christmas comes gifts and a whole lot of surprises. I think children of all ages count the days until Christmas morning. Most of us can hardly wait until the big day when we tackle those Christmas gifts that are under the tree, ripping off the paper to reveal the surprise inside. However, as we get older, as we grow up, we realize that the Christmas surprises aren't only under the tree, but they happen in people's lives also. In fact, the Bible records that God's first Christmas surprise started to happen even before the first Christmas day. They started to happen in the lives of simple people, regular people like Zechariah and Elizabeth. And this morning, we see them happening in the life of a young girl named Mary. There she was, living in Nazareth, a little town in Galilee. Mary was probably preoccupied with her upcoming wedding. She was pledged to marry a man named Joseph. Now, some of you ladies especially can relate to that, particularly if you've planned weddings or planned your own wedding. Mary is probably thinking about what she's going to wear, what guest will be invited to the wedding, about family members who will come from far and near. And of course, there's always Joseph. I'm sure he was in her thoughts also. Everything seems to be going according to plan, and everyone is excited for the big day of the wedding. Mary couldn't wait to see it with her own eyes. But now this angel shows up with something unexpected, something that was not planned, something that was startling. An angel named Gabriel says to Mary, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Just try to be in Mary's shoes for a moment. What do you say to a greeting like that? Ditto? Right back at you, bud. No, of course not. This is an angel of the Lord, after all. Mary's probably thinking, what does he mean by coming to my little town and telling me that I am favored? What does he mean by this greeting? What is all of this about? Luke describes Mary's reaction in this way. She was greatly troubled at his saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Well, of course Mary was troubled. Who wouldn't be? But it's interesting to note in the original Greek, the word here used by Luke to describe Mary's feelings means that she debated, considered, reasoned even about the angel's greeting. Her thoughts run to, why am I favored? Me? Who am I? What does it mean that the Lord is with me? After all, Mary knows her place. She knows who she is. This should not be happening to her. She's only a teenager, young girl. She has no status in society at all. The angel surely has the wrong person. But the angel goes on to give more details about his mission to Nazareth. Gabriel says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Can you imagine what's going on in Mary's head? She's probably thinking, "But I'm not married yet. And you're telling me this? That I'm going to have a baby?" This means trouble. "Don't you know that, Mr. Fancy Pants Angel? Can you please tell me something else?" But as I mentioned before, some Christmas surprises are not under the tree, but they are and they do happen in people's lives. And now Mary's life is turned upside down. She knows exactly what will happen to her if she's found to be pregnant before the wedding. She's probably thinking, "No way, Mr. Gabriel, this is not a good idea. Why don't you go to another town, find someone else to deliver this message to?" Getting such surprises from God when we've been following our own agenda can be very disappointing. Here we are, Christmas Eve morning, and we're still busy with some of our plans, right? We started to get busy right after Thanksgiving, but we had this long list of things to do. Go shopping for Christmas gifts, decorate the house, put up the Christmas lights, mail out some cards, plan our Christmas parties, and so on and so on. To have such a surprise like Mary did, this turn of events at the last minute, would be very troubling. I can imagine her thinking, "But Lord, I have other plans. I have my own schedule. I have my own things that I need to take care of. Can you please send your angel to another town, to another place, to deliver your message of good news and hope to someone else?" I think we can see ourselves saying something like that. We're certainly not that much different than Mary, are we? No, we'd have the same reactions. We'd have the same kind of responses. But as Advent reminds us, the Lord is coming, and he's coming for you. He's coming to change your life, and it will never be the same again. His name is Jesus, and Jesus is not just an ordinary baby. Yes, he is Mary's son in the flesh, but he's also the Son of the Most High. He is the Son of God. Jesus is coming, and he's coming to save. It is once said by an old German theologian that the crib and the cross are made of the same wood. The whole reason that Jesus was born on earth was to seek and to save the lost and to die for our sins. But Gabriel listens to Mary's reply when she says, "How can this be? I'm a virgin and I'm not yet married." He understands that Mary's not being a skeptic when she asks, "How can this be?" This is different from Zechariah, who didn't believe Gabriel when he was told that his wife Elizabeth would have a child in her old age. Here, Mary's just asking for clarification. She's asking, "How could this even be possible?" Mary obviously knew that she had never slept with a man. And after Gabriel listens to Mary, he explains, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Gabriel's words to Mary not only describe what will happen, but at the same time offer comfort and assurance to a young bride who just learned she would be pregnant without being married. What the angel Gabriel is saying to Mary is that what's about to happen in your life is something out of this world. It's supernatural. God the Holy Spirit will come upon you. He will overshadow you with the power of the Most High. He will fill you with His glorious presence and blessing. And you will conceive the Son of God. Elizabeth, your relative, the one that everyone said was too old to have a baby. Well, guess what? She's pregnant and in her sixth month. Mary, as it was with Elizabeth, so will it be also with you. God is faithful. He keeps His promises. He always does what He says He'll do. And for with God, nothing is impossible. That's the same for us. When the Holy Spirit comes into our lives through the good news of the gospel, He makes the impossible possible. He transforms us. He changes us from the inside out. He gives us faith. And He makes God's plan of salvation happen in our lives, too. And at times, He asks us to change our plans. Will we be open to a new course? Or will we reject what is surely God's better way? The choice is ours. Mary had other plans. She was not ready to be the mother of Jesus. But Mary realizes the magnitude of the message that Gabriel delivered to her, and she responds, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Mary, moved by the message that she had received from Gabriel, responds in total trust, in total submission to God's will. She understands that everything is in God's hands. God is in control. Mary knows that God's plan is much better than hers. She is favored. The Lord is with her. There is no reason now to be afraid. Trusting in God's word of promise, Mary is now willing to become His servant. It is all about God's plan. So here we are. Today is Christmas Eve. And along with Mary, we were reminded that Christmas has surprises. These are not just surprises in packages under the tree, but surprises that happen in people's lives too. Mary's surprise also reminds us that God's plan is always, always better than our plan. Christ is coming, and He will come again. It doesn't matter how busy we are following our own personal agenda. But like Mary, our hearts may not be ready. But God's gracious. The Holy Spirit comes to us, opening our ears so that we listen to God's word of promise, leading us not to trust in our plan, but in God's. Jesus, the Son of God, is coming. He's coming to save you and me. This day is all about God's plan. And His plan is certainly always better than ours. Amen.